And should I mute everybody?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll now start.
Grace and peace, and welcome to this worship service from the staff of the Michigan Conference United Church of Christ. We offer our prayers and best wishes in this Christmas season, one unlike any other, at least in most of our lifetimes. As we gather across the miles, we are celebrating the deepening awareness of God with us. Yes, we have been separated from each other for nearly a year, and still we proclaim that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship our God.
Let's prepare for worship. All good gifts come from God. We receive a baby, a child, and we celebrate the birth of a son. We yearn for a wonderful, wise counselor. We wonder whether God is the Almighty One. We long for the permanence of a parent's love. And we mourn the promises of peace. All good gifts come from God, and we wait with hearts and eyes open to the possibilities of a new year, a bright winter sun, and the assurances of the ancient prophets. For unto us a child is born, and we rejoice. Let us worship God.
Okay.
At this time, Margie will be leading us in Love Came Down at Christmas.
Can you hear me?
I invite you now to join your voices with mine, whether you are with others or alone, as we begin our worship. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we have waited so long. all through the weeks of Advent and over the evenings and days of Christmas. We remember celebrations of other years, and we summon the joy and hope of our shared faith. But this year is different. We have to work hard to remember, to be joyful, to practice our faithful traditions. We confess that we are tired and impatient with adjusting, but we recall with the people of every time and place that your mercy is poured out for us in the precious connections between us, in relationships of family, in neighbors, in strangers that smile at our masked faces, and in the church into which you call us. Join us today in this place, separated or in the presence of the ones we love, and fill us with the gift of your love that binds us as your people and sends us into the world bearing light and hope and peace. Amen.
I am excited to imagine many children of God of all ages watching this worship video during this season. No matter who you are or where you are in your faith journey, remember, you are loved. I'm Jen Ringgold, and I'm so glad to be worshiping with you today as the Program Associate for Youth Ministries for the Michigan Conference. I also have the privilege to be the Director of Educational Ministries at the United Church of Christ in Midland, Michigan. It is my honor to work with youth, children, families, and the church leaders who support them all in both of these roles. As we come together this day, it is a precious gift. In a state with geography that makes it challenging for us all to be together in person without hours and hours of travel, I welcome the use of technology and this virtual opportunity to be connected to you. In these pandemic days, I sometimes feel a bit boxed in, isolated, and alone. If you are watching this video, it is my hope that you have found a local church community to be a part of. Being part of a church can provide an awesome opportunity to be gathered in, to connect, to learn about ourselves and others, and to be inspired to bring about a more just world. Local churches do so much for their communities, inviting people in, loving them, and sending them out to do and to be their best selves. Sometimes local churches can become isolated and feel alone. The Michigan Conference has embraced a way to connect and support local churches with 6 geographical associations. If you are connected with your association, fantastic. Maybe you already feel a part of Southwest, Grand West, Detroit Metro, United Northern, Eastern, or Covenant Association. If these are unfamiliar to you, I encourage you to explore and find out more about how you and your local church might bridge connections with your association. Michigan has distance, space, and time constraints that make it challenging for all our UCC churches in the Michigan Conference to be present together. Recently, adopting technology in this forced virtual world has helped us to create, innovate, and transform the ways that we can all embrace being a part of the conference to which we covenant. As we are all seeking ways to bring about a more just world for all, it is exciting to know that the Michigan Conference is one of more than 30 conferences in the United States networking with the national staff to be a part of this United Church of Christ denomination. It is a gift to know that we are all included in something bigger than ourselves. It's helpful to me to know that there are spaces and places that can help me find resources, others who I can share my ideas with, networks of support that are established and growing daily. Because of the way the UCC is structured and organized, it is possible for me to stay in my box. For my local church to be its very own institution. This is a beautiful and unique characteristic of our denomination. It can also make it a bit more challenging, though, to connect and know what is happening in the wider church. We just have to work in different ways to stay connected. While some denominations have a national presence that tells them what to do from the top down, I am grateful that the United Church of Christ does things differently. Because of this, individuals can share ideas and be a part and inform the national church, like our Michigan youth who gave voice at the 2019 General Synod. Individuals can also work with conferences to provide resources for local churches. And we can look to our associations for financial help and support. This pandemic season has been one of challenge and also one of opportunity and transformation. As we reimagine gift giving this Christmas in so many ways, I encourage you to wonder about the gifts you might have to share within the unique structure of the United Church of Christ, to join in the journey and be open to the possibility of where new spaces and support and networking and resources and God's abundant love might be gifted to you.
Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 13. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil.
Hello, I'm Reverend Dr. Constance Simon, and I'm here to read the scripture, Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May God add a blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his word. Amen.
Hello, my name is Phil Hart. I'm the Transitional Conference Minister for the Michigan Conference of the United Church of Christ. I bring you greetings from your sisters and brothers across the conference and across the United Church of Christ. It is a great honor and privilege for the staff of the United Church of Christ here in Michigan to come together and bring together this worship service for you. We hope it will be a blessing to you in some way. My task for this service is to take just a couple moments and speak about the scripture passage for today. And I have to say, from the beginning, that I have some problems with the New Testament passage. Two problems in particular. One is this whole thing between left hand and right hand. Being a left-handed person myself, that's always been an issue for me. What makes it so much better to be one hand or the other? I don't know, that's one of my issues. The other issue though that I have is this harshness towards goats. I grew up on a farm and we had both sheep and goats. And I have to say, my favorite pet that I had growing up was a goat named Cappy. And I know that sounds like a country music song title, but it's true. Cappy was this white goat who could be at the back of the farthest field and I could yell for Cappy and Cappy would come running up and he would climb up his feet on the fence and stand up as tall as he could, and I would go over and I would give him a hug, and he would lay his head on my head like he was hugging me back. I suspect maybe Jesus just met the wrong kind of goats, and that's what's behind this story. But whatever, I just wanted to lay out that I had those problems with this passage. But this passage is truly intriguing. It's a passage that we build a lot of foundational ideas around. And I'd just like to take a couple moments, if I can, to share some thoughts. The first thought that I have about this passage is around the idea that Christ reveals that Christ is in everyone. That's a remarkable thing. Jesus tells them, some of you did right, some of you didn't do right, and there I was in each of those people. Richard Rohr, in his book Universal Christ, says this: once we know that the entire physical world around us, all of creation, is both the hiding place and the revelation place for God, then this world becomes home, safe, enchanted, offering grace to any who look deeply. That's the first thing that I notice about this passage, is that Jesus says, yes, I'm everywhere, in everyone. And that if we don't look deeply, we will miss it. What would it mean if we just did that? If we understood the truth that Christ is in everything and everyone, how would that change how we did church, how we do education or business? How would that change capitalism? How would that change our politics? How would that change our lives if we truly believed that? Well, Richard Rohr says it's not something to be seen easily. We must look deeply in order to do it. I know we're at the beginning of a new year, and quite frankly, this time could not have come sooner for some people. 2020 has been rough, and we are in the midst of a very difficult period of time right now with the pandemic and political changes and things like that. But to be able to take this time and to look forward and to evaluate our lives and to evaluate how we might be in the future, this time is a wonderful time to ask ourselves questions like, what would my life look like if I believed that Christ was in everything and in everyone? So, that's the first thought I have. I have another one too. Half of the people that Jesus talked about, it seemed, or a number of them, helped others, fed them, gave them water, visited them when they were in prison or lonely or sick. Some of those people did it just because those people were in need. They didn't know that Christ was there. And some of those people saw the exact same thing and did nothing. Kind of underneath that part of the story, we sort of get the idea that those that didn't do something, if they knew that Christ was there in those people, tucked inside, hidden inside, that they would have done something. And that makes it even sadder. But why is it that some are prone to help and others are not? I don't know if I know the whole part of that. But one thing that I have noticed is that people who care for others have a deep and abiding empathy for others. They have the ability to maybe put themselves in other shoes, and if not that, at least to understand what human pain and sadness and loss and need feels like. That is a gift, the gift of empathy. When I was in seminary, I was talking with one of my professors, and it seemed like every once in a while I would have these moments when it felt like I understood the sadness of the whole world. It rested on me in such a way that just made me so sad. I was talking with one of my professors about that, and he said, actually, he said, I just had that experience about a year ago, and he said, it so shocked me. He said that I started researching it, of course, what professors do. He said, what I discovered is that the old timers in the faith used to talk about what they called the gift of tears. And it was that moment when people were able to understand the pain and the sorrow and the sadness of the world. And they said that it was actually a gift because it helped you understand how to pray and how to try to care for people in the world and do ministry even better. The gift of tears. Over this last year, many of us have had that. It's difficult to watch the news sometimes and not feel that. But my prayer for us today, as we stand at the beginning of a new year, is all tied together in this passage. One, I pray that we will seek and discover the hidden Christ in a deeper and deeper way. And two, I pray that we will be given a deeper understanding of our sisters and brothers' search for happiness, for food, for water, for comfort. And that might move us to do ministry, to be better Christians this year. My friends, I have some problems with this passage, but I think going through all the problems and going past them and looking beyond them, I think all of us can agree. Left-handers and right-handers, goats and sheep alike, that what Christ is calling us to is a life of compassion and kindness and service. As we stand at this new year, may those kinds of characteristics fill us and exude and spread out from us into the entire world. May the blessings and peace and love of God be with you all. Amen.
What a beautiful sermon that was shared by Phil. Before his sermon, Catherine, sitting next to me, was saying, why is Matthew so hard on goats? Weren't you?
Yes.
Which is absolutely true. Why?
Scapegoats.
Scapegoats, etc. What's wrong with goats? And thank you, Phil, for showing us the way. And left hand and right hand, well, whatever way you see them here on Zoom, what's wrong with left-handed or right-handed? There are varieties of religious experience. There are laughter and tears. I went out just a few minutes ago to find this particular quote. Tears are for memory. They are a gift from God. Without them, how could we remember ourselves? Laughter. We need laughter as well. And faith. When we think of our faith, there are varieties of religious experience. When we think of freedom, there are varieties of freedom. Freedom to, freedom from. There are varieties of way, and many different ways we look at freedom. And then there's our fellowship, which I believe it was Jen Ringgold who spoke about that earlier in the service. Thank Jen. I thank Ruth Fitzgerald, Cheryl Burke, Lisa Solier, Constance Simon, the Calandra Nevensell, and Jody Benton. They are the ones who are participating in the service this morning. Anyway, now is the time for communion, and then we will hear a song from Karen, but let us share in communion first.
This is first.
Okay, with the bread. Yeah, here we go. So everybody, if you have your bread ready, let us share in communion. Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for many. When you take and eat of this, do so and remember me. And let us eat together. Whenever we share the bread, I think about companionship, our connections with each other. Earlier, we heard about our connections with the United Church of Christ. I also know that we celebrate the autonomy of our local church, which is so important. We make decisions for ourselves. And then there are the people within the church, the individuals, all the varieties of people that make up the church, all these different ways of looking at who we are. Companionship is so significant. Come, community, pan, bread, the bread that we share, the ship, companionship. We are partners in this ministry together. We are equal partners in ministry. Jesus also took the cup, and after giving a blessing on the cup, he said, drink this and remember me. So let us drink together. And now Karen's song. Karen Anderson, thank you for this beautiful gift. I don't want to let go of Christmas time.
She wrote it.
She wrote it, yes. Thank you, Catherine. This is composed by Karen Anderson.
Peace on earth, kindness to all.
Thank you so much, Karen. That's beautiful. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Such talent.
Such a gift to our congregation and to all of us who are on Zoom this morning. Thank you. And now, prayers of the people. I'd like to go back to the Michigan Conference. Calandra will be speaking about this and the Beatitudes.
Hello, I'm Reverend Calandra Nevenzel, Southwest Association Minister and Pastor of Zion United Church of Christ in Baroda, Michigan. Thank you for joining with me in the prayers of the people. Living into the blessing and challenges of following Christ requires great strength and courage. We can only reach this goal by grounding ourselves as a community in prayer. As we come before God together, I invite you in to Jesus' words found in the Beatitudes, into their surprising blessings and their bold proclamation of the kingdom of God. From the beginning of Christianity, people of faith have relied on these seemingly simple words to guide their lives, to help them understand God's will, and to direct them into prayer for and suffering with the world. I will read each phrase and then I will suggest a focus for a brief moment of prayer and meditation. Let us pray. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We pray for the poor of our world, for whom the kingdom of heaven often seems distant and unattainable. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We pray for those who are in mourning, who have lost someone or something dear to them. Give them your comfort, O God. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We pray that people would not be ruthless with one another. We pray, O God, that you would eliminate the discord and violence that exists in the world around us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. We pray for the hungry and thirsty in body and in spirit. Fill them, O God, with your abundance. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. We pray that people would be quick to forgive and slow to condemn. Give them your mercy, O God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We pray for the young children and young at heart, and for their protection. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We pray for peace in our families, in our country, and in our world. And we pray for more peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We pray for those who are hurt, abused, oppressed, and persecuted. Save them, O God. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on God's account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We pray for ourselves, as we do our very best to live up to your name, O Christ, and as we strive toward the blessing you call us to live into and extend to others in your name. Let us now join together in one voice to pray a special version of the Lord's Prayer by Monica Furlong, called God Who Cares For Us. God who cares for us, the wonder of whose presence fills us with awe, let kindness, justice, and love shine in our world. Let your secrets be known here as they are in heaven. Give us the food and the hope we need for today. Forgive us our wrongdoing, as we forgive the wrongs done to us. Protect us from pride and from despair, and from the fear and hate which can swallow us up. In you is truth, meaning, glory, and power, while worlds come and go. Amen.
And now, it's time for the offering. As we begin the new year, we're in 2021, January 3rd. I offer up the variety of missions that we have had in the past, as well as in the future. Give to the mission of your choice, and also remember our church, P.O. Box 892, Cadillac, Michigan, 49601, the First Congregational United Church of Christ. And give as you see fit. And I thank you for your ongoing generosity and goodness. Now let's sing the doxology. Thank you, David, for putting that on, and thank you, Margie, for your offertory response. And now the benediction, which will be provided by Jody Benton, and Jody is the conference minister for the United Northern Association. She is actually our United Northern Association representative. So Jody has our benediction.
As we come to the end of this Christmas season worship, we've been reminded of all of God's good gifts to us. We bring our gifts into the world. We're reminded of those gifts by the theologian Howard Thurman, African-American activist and preacher and writer, in his poem, The Work of Christmas. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes have gone home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music with the heart. People of God, may you bring God's good gifts into our world in this Christmas season and beyond. Amen.
And now let us sing Margie's benediction.
I am so, so sorry. Let me get this pulled back up. Apologies, everybody. Here we go. Hey, Dave, you were rapping away there.
Apologies for that.
So that rap there in Margie's music. It was kind of neat.
That's what happens when you don't pause the YouTube video and just let it roll out. It autoplays to the next one. Thank you for understanding and thanks for bearing with us today. That was great.
I think it's a good touch.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Off we go. Another wild blue yonder. Yep. But a little different service today. Next week, we'll be right on track, and you'll have to hear old John again.
Everyone, wave for the recording. We're going to end the recording now.
Okay.
Bye.